it shouldn't be something that's difficult and hard, and I like that. That takes just continual work, though there's labor involved, it's different. It's laboring in the Spirit, empowered by the Lord, led by the Lord. It's sweet, it's beautiful, there's trials, there's tribulations, but there's power, there's peace, there's joy, there's satisfaction. I would want no other life than the life that God has given to me. I'm so blessed to be able to serve the Lord. We are so blessed to be here today at this conference, at this retreat. Just seeing if you guys are awake. Just the idea of retreat, just to be able to retreat and seek the Lord and to do what we're doing. And God has been able to free up our schedules and put us in this place and sit here and receive the Word of God. So many of you are involved in so many awesome and beautiful ministries that are bearing fruit. People are getting saved. People are getting changed. The gospel's going to the ends of the earth. God is just working and doing wonderful things, whether you see that or not. And I hope you see it. You know, when you're walking in the works prepared beforehand, when you're walking in God's grace, you just begin to see it. You begin to see the positive. We always focus on the negative. We're always worried about, you know, what I'm not doing and never really realizing what God is doing. And I pray that we could be focusing on the things the Lord's doing, what's happening in the churches we're in our lives, and just do that which we did in the beginning. Just worship. Just be excited to be able to be in a Bible study, you know? And we get so distracted so easily. I want to read to you the first 10 verses. Verse 10 is what we're going to focus on, but I really believe the first 10 verses is kind of a recap of the last couple messages we did last night, this morning. And you, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now works in the sons of disobedience. Among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our minds, and were by nature children of wrath. That's natural. That's all natural, children of wrath. Okay? And were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. This is who we were. This is where we were. We can't be confident in our flesh because our flesh is only this, right here. I'm a child of wrath in my flesh. I had nothing to offer God and His kingdom. God didn't say, boy, I need Trent. Dyslexic, sinful, wicked. Boy, he could be really good. If I don't have him, I won't be able to do what I need to do. Wasn't the case. The case was, I was wretched. I was led by the passions of my flesh. I was a slave to sin. I was bound, and God in mercy looked down and said, there is a person that is bound in sin and iniquity, and it's destroying them. And because of my great love by which I've loved them, I'm going to save them. You know, really verses 1 through 3 is really a sad commentary on who we are, on humanity, on the situation of man. And verse 4, and maybe you've heard this often, maybe you've never heard this, is so beautiful because it says, but God. You see what I'm saying? It's this is you. The conclusion, child of wrath, just as the others. But God. He intervened. But God reached into your life. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love by which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, eternity, is going to be a lesson of God's grace. We are tasting God's grace. And as we deepen in our walks with the Lord and mature and walk in the fullness of grace, we are still just tasting it. There's so much more. There's so much more. There's so much more that God has for you and I. And He's only going to take, it's going to take all eternity for Him to continue to reveal His grace to us. It's incredible. Verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This verse, verse 10, sums up the first nine verses. This verse is a key verse because this is who you are presently right now. You were once one that was led by the passions of your flesh. You fulfilled the desires of your flesh and of your mind. You were by nature a child of wrath, but God intervened, and God has saved you based on His grace. And you are His workmanship, for we are His workmanship. You are the handiwork of God. God is fashioning your life into the image of His Son. You are God's project. You are God's masterpiece. He is the carpenter, if you would. You are the project that He's working on. And let me tell you, He does nice work. He doesn't do shoddy stuff. I'm into construction. I love construction. And I love a good job. When you're done, you just step back and go, now that's quality. There's nothing worse than stepping back and going, that's shoddy. I don't want to let anybody know I did that. God doesn't do shoddy work. God does a quality job. But you know, when you're working with certain materials, sometimes they give you a problem. When they just don't work with you, they work against you. Materials that just want to bend the other way than you want to bend them. It's hard to work with those kind. I pray that we would be materials in God's hand that are flexible and shape as He shapes us. And we'll get to that in a minute. But God, He is a master. The word here for workmanship is that word that speaks of a poetry, a poem. And it speaks of the poet's poem, the expression of the poet's heart. As he writes down on paper his heart, he writes down a beautiful masterpiece, and he presents it then to an audience and reads it, and people go, wow. You are God's showpiece. This is how God views you. This is how God views me. This is amazing. God takes a piece of dirt, a piece of clay, and He shapes it and fashions it and molds it into something that He would like to put in a showcase. It's God's grace. It's God's love. It's the beauty of who the Lord is. It's wonderful. God is so in love with you. And you just need to receive that. It says, "For we are His workmanship." Notice how created, the word is born again. Created in Christ Jesus. We're created anew. We're created through the work of the cross. We're created in Christ Jesus. But we were created for something. We were created for good works. Now, we're not saved by works. Verse 8 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourself," verse 9, "not of works, lest anyone should boast." This is where Christians get mixed up. We're not saved by works, but we're created for works. I'm not saved by what I've done, but as a saved individual, God wants to do. And we need to realize that. God has saved me and He has kept me here on this earth for a purpose. We all know the scripture from Jeremiah 29:11. The thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We all have seen that verse maybe on a plaque. We've quoted that verse in times of need. But you know, the reality really is that God has a purpose for your life. Satan didn't. You were going down a course in your life of destruction. You were going to end up as a child of wrath. But God intervened. But God, who is rich in mercy. But God said, that right there, that vessel of dishonor, I'm going to use for a vessel of honor. I'm going to use this individual for my glory. I'm going to transform them. I'm going to create them anew in my Son, based on the work of the cross, because of the blood of Jesus, not because of anything in them. And I'm going to do good works through them. Think about it. God has left you here. What do you mean, left me here? He's left us here on earth. Have you ever thought of the idea of, if God is so loving, and God ultimately wants to be with us in heaven, why doesn't God just save us and rapture us? I like the story about Enoch. I thought, Lord, why doesn't that just happen to every Christian? Walk with God, you are no more. You walk with God, you are no more. You walk with God, you are no more. Let's go! I mean, what's the purpose of just dragging me through the mud of the world? Trials, temptations, warfare. Why? Why do I have to go through pain? Boy, if God loves me and I'm ultimately going to heaven, what's the purpose? I'm not saved by works. I'm not proving anything to God by going through these things. I'll tell you why. Because God has a plan. What we call it is, it's God's redemptive plan for mankind. God has a plan, brothers and sisters. That's why we'd be at a leadership retreat. He's got a plan for people. He sent His only begotten Son, who became a man, for the very purpose to die on a cross, that you and I can be saved, and not only you and I can be saved, but that mankind can find God, have salvation, and spend eternity with Him. God, in His sovereignty and His wisdom, gave a commission to the Church of Jesus Christ, not of the Latter-day Saints, the Church of Jesus Christ. He's given a commission to us to take the word of the gospel to the ends of the earth. From here to the farthest parts. And I pray that each and every one of us understand that. That might not be your individual calling to go to the other ends of the earth and preach the gospel, but boy, that's God's heart. That's God's plan, is to take the word forth. We know that we are the body of Christ. Each of us have different gifts, and we all fit in this body in different ways. We all have different functions in that body. But we must know the very heart of God. And God has left us here to be a light. God has left us here to be a voice. God has left us here to be a witness. And when you really, really get that, you understand that, you don't live for yourself. You live life with that in mind. I'm here not because it's fun. I'm here for a purpose. God has a purpose in my existence as a Christian on the face of the earth. There's a reason I'm alive. Maybe for some of you, you can think back and realize I shouldn't be alive. The path I was leading, or maybe an accident that I was in, or something that happened. I should be dead. But you're not. And why aren't you? Because it wasn't your time to die. Why? Because God wasn't, quote, finished with you. Finished doing what? His work through you. We have the incredible privilege to be those that are used by God. We have the incredible privilege to be those that are vessels of God. That God says, I'm going to work through you. And when I begin to understand that, I'm amazed at his grace. This thing called grace only gets deeper. Not just will God save me. Not just will God justify me, declare me righteous, and glorify me, take me to heaven. But God wants to use me. And not just that generically God wants to use me, but God has a specific plan for my life in his great plan of the redemption of man. Don't miss that. We are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. But hold on. Before you get overwhelmed, it gets better. The grace of God always amazes me. Not just I'm saved, not just God wants to use me, not just that he's called me to do good works, but these good works, here we go, have been prepared beforehand. What? Whoa, hold on here. You're trying to tell me that God saved me, nothing to do with me, wretched sinner, God just plucked me from the flames of hell, forgave my sins, filled me with his Holy Spirit, gave me a commission, and said, and by the way, I've already done all the works. They're already ready for you. There's one thing for you to do. One thing. Walk in them. There's one thing to be done. Walk with him. Just walk with him. It's simple, guys. The Bible, the gospel, the ministry, simple. You just walk in them. Let me read it. If you don't believe me, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know what this does to me? Sets me at liberty. Free as a bird. When I really get it, wait a second, it's got truly nothing to do with me. Not only did it have nothing to do with me to get saved, but it's got nothing to do with me in the midst of ministry. All I need to do, all I need to do is walk with them. I don't need to strive. I don't need to worry. I don't need to be somebody that I'm not. I don't need to pretend like I'm more spiritual than I am. I need to have an intimate relationship with my Lord and Savior, and I need to see him and follow him. I don't need to look at the guy next to me and say, wow, look at him, he's a missionary. Boy, that must be because he's so spiritual. No, because he's walking with his Lord. And that's the works that have been prepared for him. I'll be a missionary then. And you go and try to be a missionary and you find you're not called to be a missionary. And you're miserable. You're working and you're sweating and you're striving and you're just going through it and everything's hard and walking with God is so difficult and so taxing and so depressing, and you're there to be a witness of joy and love, and it's just not happening. You're frustrated because you're out of the will of God. You're walking in the works prepared beforehand for your buddy and not for you. And it don't work. It doesn't work at all. The scriptures teach so clearly that we each have a course set before us. Hebrews chapter 1, it says, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside the sin and the weights that so easily ensnare us, and let us run the race that is here it set before us. The word race is course. It's not just running a race, it's actually the road, it's the course. There's a certain course lined out for you. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, there in verse 7, he says, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race, or finished my course. I'm at the finish line. Every one of us have a course. And we've got to realize a plan that God has. God has it's all planned out. God has done the work, prepared the hearts. God has readied, tilled the soil, if you would. God has done it. Your ministry is what God has ordained. Not what you're going to achieve, what you're going to obtain. You know, people talk about success in the ministry, and I just want to throw up. What's that mean? I have achieved the stature of a pastor. Give me a break. There is walking in the works prepared beforehand, and then there's trying to walk in the works that aren't yours. And boy, it's so much easier just to walk with the Lord and just know, wait, this is God's deal. This ministry that I'm in, that I'm involved with, it's God's. I'm just following the Lord down the course. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, as the course set before me. It says, looking unto Jesus. Jesus is standing at the end. He's saying, come this way. I'm being led by the Lord. I'm so blessed. I'm so free. I don't have to strive and work to achieve this level of something so that I can be recognized, so that I can do something. I just follow the Lord. I walk with God. It is not difficult to walk with God. There's difficulties in walking with the Lord, but God isn't difficult. I've said this from the beginning of when I started teaching. God's not difficult. He's not confusing to walk with. We confuse things radically. We jumble everything up. We've got everything all messed up. We're all messed up. We're striving, looking. We're looking at everyone around us. Aaron taught a message a couple weeks ago in our fellowship, for those of you that were there, of not comparing us with ourselves, as Paul says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Not measuring ourselves by ourselves, comparing ourselves with ourselves. He says, this isn't wise. I think that's such a great phrase. It's not wise. That's not going to produce happiness for you. That's not going to be blessing. It's not wise. That's not a good thing to do. Don't do that. That's harmful to you. It's not wise. Brothers and sisters, it is not a wise thing for you and I to walk in the works of someone else. But what is wise is to simply walk with Jesus. And realize you don't have to strive. You just need to do one thing. Dwell in His presence. Have an ear to hear His voice. Sit at His feet. And He will direct you on what course you have. You see, the thing about the Lord, He knows the course. But you don't. You might have a little glimpse of the next, up to the next turn in the course, but you don't know the course. He's got it laid out. It's all done, but you can't see. He's got a bird's eye view. You're just looking and you can see 50 yards ahead, the course turns. That's all you can see. And you know when you're going to see what's around the corner? When you get there. And you know what we do? I'm not going there until I see what's around the corner. It's this issue of surrendering our lives. And saying it's one step at a time. And I'm not going to, as Jesus said, worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough trouble of itself. And when you realize that the work's been prepared beforehand by God, there's some great blessings there. Because you realize that it's not your work. It's God's. You didn't have to strive to get it. And you don't need to strive to keep it. See, if you had to strive to get it, you've got to strive to keep it. But you know what? The church, it's not my church. It's God's church. It's not Trent's work. It's God's work. It's a work that God has happened to call me to. But I didn't have to strive to get it. and I'm not striving to keep it. And if God wants to take it, it's His to take. I'm just walking with Him. If He says, course change, switching tracks, let's switch. Because the issue is, I'm with Him. My identity isn't in a ministry, it's in Christ. It's in the Lord. It's in the cross. It's in His presence, dwelling there in His tabernacle. It's sitting with Him. And I'm just following Him. He's sovereign. He does what He wants. He's the Lord. I'm the servant. And if He's directing me this way and He changes gears, great, let's go along for the ride. I just know this. God knows what He's doing. God's got a better perspective on this thing than me. And wisdom says, trust the Lord. And I don't have to be all upset and troubled and worried. Paul said, after listing his list of afflictions there in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul said, and the deep concern for all the churches. It's not, and my you know, overwhelming depression for all the churches. I have a concern. But ultimately, they're God's churches. Ultimately, they're in God's hands. And what I want to pass on to us is, this has been something for me that has got me through ministry with a smile on my face, with peace in my heart. Because the work that God is doing is God's work. I don't have to try to hold it. I don't have to try to make it happen. Secondly, not only do I not have to try to hold on to this thing and make something happen, I don't need to strive. Secondly, I realize this. If it's God's work, God is going to supply the ability to do it. Boy, is that freeing. Listen to what Peter says in his first epistle. I'll read it to you. I'll give you the reference when I get there. 1 Peter chapter 4, he says this. In verse 10, as each one has received a gift, not all natural, but all spiritual, a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now listen to verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, back to this ministry, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. Did you hear what he said? He said, let him do the ministry, do it as with the ability which God supplies. If God has prepared the work for me, God's going to complete the work in me. If God's prepared it, He's going to do it. And I can come confidently, boldly to the Lord. I can come confidently to a ministry, realizing I didn't seek this for my own. God began to speak to me, direct me, lay on my heart. I began to go in that direction, and God obviously opened doors for me. God did the work. And as now I'm going on, maybe now I'm in this ministry, in the work, and it feels like I can't do what's set before me. I'm not qualified, Lord. I'm not able. I don't have what it takes. I need to realize that, wait, hold on. Let's just get emotions out for a minute. Biblically, theologically, this is where doctrine is so important. God has called me. And if God has called me, God's going to enable me. Period. And this is where faith comes in. Period. And I just need to believe Him for it. And right now I need to take a step. And I need to step out. And I need to let God do the work. Right now I just need to go and do it. Realizing God is going to supply. Again, what does that do? That's bringing me back to my eyes on Jesus. I'm just going to have my eyes fixed on Him. My eyes are just the race set before me, looking unto Jesus. I'm running it. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I don't think I can do this, but I know you can, and I know you've prepared it beforehand. I know you're going to anoint me for it. You're going to enable me. You're going to give me the ability that I need. So here I go. We call it a step of faith. But it's not blind faith. It's faith based on truth. It's faith that you can rely on. It's faith in God has spoken, God has called me, and God has set this before me, and therefore God's going to fulfill this through me. And my confidence? Well, it's in the blood of Jesus. It's in the cross. He did it. And at the cross, He made me His workmanship, created me in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand that I would walk in them. It's the new covenant. And I can simply, freely, lovingly worship Him, walk with Him. And then at the end, what will happen? He will receive the glory. He will receive the glory. And that's the beauty of it. I hope that what you do, what I do, what we're doing right now in ministry, our motive of heart is God be magnified. God be glorified. Not church be glorified, not the name of Calvary or saving grace, but God be glorified. That's the passion of your heart. If it is, you're on the right track. If it's not, you need to get on it. You've left the right track. Why? Peter says it. He says that God will supply the ability that in all things God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. God will be glorified through His Son. In whatever you do, as Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he writes there in verse 30 and 31, in whatever you do, whether in eating or drinking, or he says, or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Boy, that's it. What motive should I have? We always worry about our impure motives. Forget about them. What's the pure motive? The pure motive is God be glorified. And if you can't say, you know what, I'm discipling this person, and my motive is that God might be magnified in their life, and that God might be magnified in our talks and conversations, and the time we're in the Word, and the things we do together. If you can't say that, you got bad motives. What's the purpose? What's the purpose? So that you can build someone up so you can say, I discipled them. And we need to examine our hearts. But our motive should always be, God be magnified. And boy, what a blessing it is when that's it. Because I'll tell you what, the Spirit of God will anoint that. The Spirit of God will anoint a person that is ready to give glory to the Lord in everything they do. Now here's the beauty of this whole thing. You think that's good. It gets better. According to Romans chapter 14, let me read to you out of Romans 14. It says this, verse 10, but why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This idea of the judgment seat of Christ. We'll stand there. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says there in verse 9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one might receive the things which are done in the body according to what was done, whether good or bad. There's going to be a judgment seat of Christ. In the book of Revelation, Jesus talks about that He's coming and His reward is with Him, to reward everyone according to their own works. There's rewards. There's the judgment seat of Christ. We can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and see how they're going to be judged, whether they're of of something that's going to last through the fire or something that's not. Of what sort they are. What sort are they? Really? There's two sorts. God, man. My works are God's work. But listen, here's the beauty. You get to, instead of striving and worrying and being troubled about everything, you get to walk with God. Love the Lord. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. Follow the course that He has for you. Setting your eyes upon Jesus. Not holding on to anything too dearly. Trusting the Lord. It's His work. Realizing along the way, He's going to enable me to do it. You go with faith, trust, confidence, and you find that He does it. And it's beautiful and you're blessed and God is magnified in it. And you think, wow, but it's not done. Then you get to heaven. And you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the works that were done in that spirit, He's going to then say, now, let me give you the rewards for them. And I'm going to say, wait a second. You prepared the work. You enabled me for the work. You did the work. And you're rewarding me for the work. That's grace. That's grace. And I had fun doing the work. But then there's the other side. You make the work happen. You strive. You get burnt out. You get frustrated. You get discouraged. You lose heart. Your faith is shipwrecked. Your life is miserable. You get to heaven. You find, well, first of all, you find no anointing. You find no strength because you're in the flesh, because you're doing something God hasn't called you to and He's not going to anoint you for it. And you're putting your faith in the Lord, but nothing's happening and you don't know why. You get to heaven and it all burns. I don't see anything good there. It was hard on earth and it's going to be harder in heaven. Or it's a blessing on earth and it's going to be even more blessed in heaven. I mean, come on. What fool would choose the first over the second? The beauty of God's grace amazes me. It amazes me that God has called me to serve Him. And I can look back and say, I didn't start the church. And those of us that were there in the beginning know that. They were saying, Trent, God's called to start a church. I said, you're crazy. I'm not a pastor. I'm not doing this. But the reality is I was looking at myself saying, that's not something I can do. And not realizing, but God is doing it. And we were getting counsel from Easy's old youth pastor. And, you know, as the Bible study was going on and we were, you know, issues of starting a church, and we'd got kicked out of the backyard, and we were meeting in the church facility on Thursday nights, and we're still a Bible study. We're just a Bible study. We weren't saying, we're starting a church. We're just a Bible study, and we thought, what are we to do? What's going on? And I can remember telling this youth pastor, Steve, I said, Steve, my concern is getting in front of the Lord. And he looked at me and says, Trent, you're so far behind the Lord, you better start running to catch up. And I'll never forget that. Because I just kind of was stunned at that. How can you say, you know, I just want to say, how can you say that? You know, but from his experience, it was obvious he could see what God was doing. And as I look back, that's exactly what God was doing. We were kind of just, well, I don't know. And everybody else is going, what are you talking about? It's not an issue of starting a church. It's an issue of pastoring the church that's already been started. There's a church. There's 200 people. There's people getting saved. There's counseling going on. There's discipleship happening. There's prayer meeting. This is a church. No. You see, and as I've then gone on in the ministry, I'll tell you, I've had a blessed, blessed, blessed time. And it seems to only get better. Whatever ministry it is, we didn't say, boy, we need a youth group. We've got to have one. Every other church has one. We don't have one. We need one. If we don't have a youth group, the place is just going to crumble. What are the kids going to do? We simply waited on the Lord, walked with the Lord, did what He set before us, and God began to stir Keith's heart. God began to stir the hearts of those around them. They started a little youth group. Not really orthodox. Met on steps. You know? And where was the preparation? Where was the training? Where was the... It was at the feet of Jesus. It was beautiful. And God did the work. And Keith's part in that was very small. Because Keith bailed out. Left us hanging. No, Keith turned the bend and it was Montana. That's where I'm going. And God then began to raise up others, finally raising up Matt, then raising up Aaron. We've got a junior high and high school department that's beautiful, bearing beautiful fruit. And you can't, Aaron can't say, well, you know, this is my ministry. This is God's ministry. And God's called him to it. You know, you don't hold on to it. You just walk in what God has set before you. I love that phrase. He's prepared the works before it that we could, I love it, walk in them. Wow, that's so easy. I can do that. I can walk in them. I can walk with him. I can follow him. I can do that. Wow, that makes ministry a whole different thing. This is workable for foolish things of the world. God said, begin to speak to a group of people in our church and begin to lay Uganda on their heart. They got the map out to look where it was. And God began to stir hearts. And today we are 2 years later of seeing a work of God in Uganda. We have 110 acres. We have training facilities. We have a Bible school now started. We have housing. We have missionaries. We have people getting blessed, taught the word. We have medical teams coming in and touching the children and the adults. We have now a feeding center. For instance, Katie didn't say, you know what? I'm going to make a feeding center happen. But God, and the reality is God prepared that work for her before she was born. God is sovereign. That's the beauty of his sovereignty. And that's what we can rest in. And when a child dies on her and she doesn't know what to do, and the child dies because of the ignorance of a mother, of a relative, and it breaks your heart because of some superstition, some tradition. Literally, they kill this child without knowing it when they had been given the proper ways to bring this child back to health, and she just wants to quit. I can't handle that. She can fall back on, yes, I can, because God's given me the ability, because it's a work God's prepared beforehand for me to walk. I need to walk with him. And right now, I need to go weep before the Lord because I'm broken. But it's God's work. And if God called Katie on, she wouldn't have to worry about this feeding center. Oh, no, what am I going to do? How am I going to keep this going? It's not hers. It's God's. Pastor Donnie was able to leave Montana. How? How can he do that? Just leave his sheep hanging. Well, he didn't really leave them hanging. But how can he just leave? Because it's not his church. It's not Donnie's church. It's not Keith's church. It's God's. And Donnie could say as he turns a bend, bye-bye, Montana. Here we come, Kampala. Because I'm just walking in the works prepared beforehand. And he can go to Kampala realizing and confident in this is God. And this is God's work. And God will enable me as he did when I left California for Montana. And when he feels like he can't go on in Kampala, which he's going to, amen, Uganda team, he's going to feel like there's no way I can go on. It's over. Let's go home. When Shayla's broken and weeping, saying my kids aren't going to live here any longer, she can stop and say, wait, we can do this. God's called us to it. Not just God's called us, and God's prepared us for it. And God's not only prepared us, God's prepared the work for us. This is God's work. We're God's children, and we're going to follow Him. And wherever you are right now, right today in ministry, if you're loving Jesus and walking with Him, you're in the dead center of the will of God. And you can just rest in that. And it's amazing because I watch people get frustrated because they're not where they might have a vision to be. And maybe God has called them to be in that place, but not yet. And I watch guys, they say, I'm called in the ministry, and all of a sudden they quit all their ministries. I'm called to go be a missionary. And they quit all their ministries. And I just kind of scratch my head thinking, what? Not that they're ready to go, not that they leave, but now they just hang around the church until time comes where they're going to go. Usually they never end up going. Because they say, in number three, there's a ministry for me, so I'll stop here and sit. You're never going to get to bin number three. We need to work on what's going on today, walk with Him, and don't worry about tomorrow. For instance, God has put things in my heart that are not yet fulfilled. When we were a young baby church, God had put in my heart a school of ministry. It took us like 4 years before I even saw the light at the end of the tunnel for a school of ministry. But I'm telling you, it was a calling. And God spoke. And I just prayed and left it in the Lord's hands. Because again, it's not mine to go get. It's God's to give. And I can do that because when God wants to give it, it'll be the right time. I'm sure of it. And I've been around long enough to know that when I go get it, I can't keep it. I'm just struggling. I'm in the flesh and I won't be able to do it. God knows when and where He needs to give you what He's called you to. And God gives you piece by piece by piece. Maybe you feel like a calling in your heart to be, let's say, a pastor. You're not there, and maybe you don't feel like you're going to be there real soon. You know, or maybe you feel like nobody's going to recognize that you're, you know, ready, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen real soon, and you either, number one, say, well, then maybe I'm not called, or number two, I need to go somewhere else where they'll recognize that I am called. That's striving. That's saying, I got to go get it. And instead, you can just walk with the Lord and just worship Him and serve in the church and love God and do what you're called to do. And if God's called you, study His Word like a madman. But I'm not teaching. Good, you can study even more. I mean, you're called, right? God's going to do that. Well, good. You don't fulfill the qualifications now. So let's go. Let's start. And let's just love God in it. Let's have peace and let's have joy and let's have blessing in our life. And let's be free. And I don't have to feel like I've got to show for the pastor so they can see this or that. Or that, you know, I've got to prove that I am worthy. Or you don't need to strive. You can just today say, God, what is it that you're guiding and leading me in my life to do? And do it. And enjoy it. And you can say, walking with God is a blessing. And I love it. And those are the kinds of people that God is able to use. God has prepared the works beforehand. One word on this idea is what role then do I play in that? We've said, put your eyes on Jesus, walk with the Lord. Let me show you what that does when you do that. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. I want to look at verses 20 and 21. 2 Timothy 2, it says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay.
some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, the word is set apart, and useful for the master. Now hear the word, prepared for every good work. Correlate this. God has prepared every good work beforehand that we would walk in them. But as we cleanse ourselves from the latter, from sin, pursue the Lord, we will be prepared for every good work. God, the question today isn't, does God have a plan for your life? Has God prepared the works for you beforehand? That's not the question. That's a guaranteed, absolute, God is good, perfect, it's done. The question is, are you right now prepared for those good works that God has prepared for you? Are you ready for them? And sometimes we're not, but we think we are, and so we, in our own strength, strive to go get them. And we find that we fall on our face and are miserable. The question, though, is, are you ready for them? I love this phrase. If any of you that have been around the fellowship the last couple of years, you hear me say it all the time. I love useful for the master. I like that because I know my master. And he does a lot. He likes to work. He likes to touch. He likes to save. And he's looking. His eyes are running to and fro across the earth, looking for anyone's heart that's loyal to him. Loyal to give him worship. Anyone's heart that's loyal to him. And so, useful for the master. I just go, well, that's what I want to be. I want to be useful for the master, prepared for every good work. He's got works prepared for me. Am I prepared for them? And how do I do that? One thing. Sit with them. Walk with them. The best way you can be prepared for good works is if you're walking with God. If you're walking in simplicity. If you have a strong devotional life, you're seeking the Lord, you're sitting at His feet, you know the Lord. You're staying away from sin because you're walking with God. You're drawing near because of the blood of Christ. You're seeking God. You're entering to His presence. You're spending time with the Lord because you love Him. Not because I want to be prepared, but the byproduct of it is you're being prepared as you do that. You're in the Word. God is preparing you, and you are becoming useful for His hand. And I see it. The sovereign God reaching down, taking the chess piece and moving it where He wills. I want to be a chess piece. I don't want to do my own thing. I want to be perfectly picked up by God and perfectly placed by God. Perfectly anointed by God, strengthened and empowered by God. That's the way I want to do ministry. That's the way it happens. That's the way it works. That's the way it's blessed. Man, I'll be a chess piece. People say, no, I don't like that idea. I love that idea. Love it. Because I have done my own enough to know, hey, I don't want that. You can have it. God is way better, way wiser than me. I don't want to tell God what I should do, when I should do it, how I should do it. I just want to be filled with the Spirit and led by Him. So, useful for the master. Master's hand comes down and says, oh, there's a useful piece. Picks it up. Places it where he wants to. Sets it on a course. He says, oh, there's Trent. He's ready for this work that I'm going to do, that I've prepared, that I will fulfill, but he's available. He's ready. And I say, wow. And as I'm picked up, I long for the ride another way. This is going to be good. Just loving the Lord. Just fixing my eyes on Him. Just sitting at His feet. Just walking with Him. And just ready to do that which He set before me. Knowing He's going to do it. Knowing that when the burdens are heavy, when I don't think I can make it, I can look up and know that He's right there. I can remember He called me to this. He's going to enable me for it. And I can worship Him. I can know that when it's all said and done, He's going to get glory. And that's what I want. And realizing in the back of my mind, knowing I'm not worthy of it, but realizing in the back of my mind, he's going to reward me for this one too. This is going to be good. And I'm going to, no wonder why you're going to cast your crowns at his feet. He's going to reward you for what he did. And you're going to say, worthy. And you're going to worship. For sure. It is God's beautiful, magnificent grace that we're allowed to partake of. And I pray we don't miss out on it. It's one of those life principles for me, one of those life truths that have just set me free to love God and to be available for people and to be filled with the Spirit and to teach and to do that which God has called me to do, because I realize God has already prepared it and God's going to do it and I just get to walk in it. This conference right here for me is a work God's prepared beforehand. I just get to walk in it. For you, it's a work God's prepared. We just get to walk with Him. You having a good time? Is it difficult? No. It's a work God's prepared. And it's a joy. If we're striving and struggling and with all kinds of mixed motives while we're here, we'll probably have a miserable time. But if we're just loving the Lord, we have a sweet time. And it's that which God has called you to. And I pray that we would just grab a hold of this and be set free by it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. And Keith, could you come up and lead us in a few songs to close us out? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your goodness. And Lord, we ask that you would pour out, Lord, your Holy Spirit upon us. That God, you would do your work in us. And Lord, we have so much, Lord, to celebrate for the great salvation. We don't want to neglect it. We want to celebrate. So God, as we worship once again, as we pour out our hearts before you, we pray, God, that you would help us. You would help us, Lord, to just celebrate in this great salvation you've given to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.